Time to steam. Earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praise as to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, now the nations bow down to sing. The holy sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. Praise as to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, it's a mansion prepared for me, where I can live with my Savior.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together. We'll stand and read a few verses. Stand, and if we are able, we will not stand long. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. We'll read 7 verses here, and then we'll let you be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 17. We'll start in verse number 14. Verse 14 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee, that thou mightest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Let's pray. Again, Father, we're grateful that you allow us to be here this morning. Thank you for all that are here. I pray you'd bless these few minutes that we have together as we look at your word, Lord, and as we focus in on that which can help us to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, for the last few weeks, and I said for the last few weeks we're done, but thoughts keep coming to my mind. We've been talking about a connected life, about being a Christian that's not just a Christian in name only, but we are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a vital living relationship with him. When we have that relationship with him, the natural result will be growth in our lives. That's why we're talking about it. There is no greater way that we can be connected to Jesus Christ than through his word. His word tells us everything we need to know. His word tells us how to have a relationship. His word teaches us how we should live, and his word is everything when it comes to having the proper relationship with him. The initial verses we looked at were the verses in John chapter 15 where Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. And he tells us to be connected to him. And if we are, we will bear fruit. And if we are not connected to him, we will not bear fruit, but we will shrivel up and die and really, in essence, be burned or be worthless. In John chapter 15, there are several verses that connect this to his word. John chapter 15 and verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word that I have, which I have spoken unto you. John chapter 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John chapter 15 and verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then John chapter 15 and verse 14, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. God's word and his principles and his commands are a vital part of that connection process with our Lord Jesus Christ. How does that relate to Deuteronomy? In the passage that we just read here, God is preparing his people. In Deuteronomy, God is kind of backtracking and going through what they've already went through and kind of preparing them for going into the promised land. Now, we understand that the last time they were supposed to go, they had some issues and they did not go in. This time, they are going to go in. And so God is preparing them for that time when they would go into the promised land. He is the way he's telling them that one day when they get into the land, they're going to want to have a king. Now, God necessarily did not want them to have a king, although in his foreknowledge, he prepared for it and knew that they were going to want a king, and he was going to bring Jesus Christ to that lineage. But they wanted a king, and so he's preparing them for that. Really, what was happening there, the Levites would go and teach the people the precepts, the laws of God, and then the judges would enforce them, but they wanted to have a king. God was to be their ruler, but they would want a king. The reason that they would want to have a king is so they could be like the other nations around them, which, by the way, is in direct contrast to what God really wanted for them. God did not want them to be like the nations that were going to live around them. Fact of the matter is, that's why he expelled and in many cases exterminated them because of their idolatry and some of the wicked practices they had. And he wanted his people to be different. He wanted his people to serve the true God and not be like the other nations. But in this area, he knew that they were going to want to be like the other nations. By the way, that's what's kind of going on in our society today. We want a Christianity that's no different than those that are not Christians. We want a church that looks no different than any other organization outside in the world, and that's why nothing good is happening in our society. By the way, the church is not supposed to mimic society. Okay? That was never God's intention. The church is really to be where Christians get together and preserve our society and not to harp on Christians, but one of the reasons our country is in such bad shape is because our Christians are in such bad shape. That's a message for another day. God here is going to give guidelines for them to follow when they come to that time when they will have a king. He told them that you're going to choose the king, that you'll have a king that I will choose. And by the way, the first king he gave them was not the king that he wanted them to have or the lineage that he wanted them to have. I think Saul was kind of a judgment to the children of Israel. You see, Saul was not from the royal tribe from which the Messiah would be there. So he was never going to last. It's almost like God gave them what they wanted, but when they got what they wanted, they didn't want what they got. Okay? By the way, that happens a lot to us. That's why he had to go out and choose King David. He gives qualifications. God is supposed to choose him. He's not to be a foreigner. No multiplying of horses from Egypt. Why? First of all, he didn't want them relying on the horses when they went to battle, and he didn't want them going back into Egypt. He wanted them to have a disconnection from them. He told the king no multiplying of wives. That's just common sense. Okay? Single guys are like, oh, that'd be great. No. Once you're married, one is a plenty because you're so happy. You can't stand any more happiness. He said, don't live for collecting of... Was I supposed to say that, hon? Was that good? Thanks. All right. I saw her look at me, so I thought I better bail myself out here real quick. And I grabbed a parachute and off I went. No living for the collection of money and personal wealth. By the way, many of the kings did not adhere to this. Solomon multiplied horses. He multiplied wives. He probably had more wives than he had horses. And he had a lot of money. He had also a lot of issue. Now, the second section of these verses, he's going to give some spiritual requirements. And that's what I want us to look at today. God knew that if the king were to live right so that he may lead right, it would have to come from following God's word. This is all introduction. We're going somewhere. The most important qualification for any king that would be a personal relationship with God through his word. By the way, that's very important for leaders. It was very important for the leaders in their day. He told him he was supposed to have a copy of his word and he was supposed to get into it every single day of his life. When Joshua was going into the leading them, eventually he's going to lead them into the promised land, what does God tell him? God says, be strong, courageous to do what the law says. Then he tells him to meditate on it day and night. Because he knew that it was important if you're going to lead or you need God's word. But by the way, we just need it also too for all of us. That's what God desires for us. God wants his word to be more than just something we carry to church on Sunday. More than just an app we have on our iPad or our iPhone. Which in a lot of cases is just there to ease our conscience. God wants his word to be a living, vital part of our life. Amen. And we see it here in his commandments for the king. What did he tell the king about his relationship to God's word? He said it should be a daily dose every day your entire life. Yep. That's what he told the king. And let me say this morning. That should be the goal for all of us. Yes, we ought to have God's word a daily dose every day. Amen. For our entire life. Now, as we see God's command to the king, we're going to see that it is twofold. First of all, I want you to notice the requirements that he is going to give the future king of Israel. It's important to him, the king, that his daily that he gave him. It's so important for the king, this daily relationship with God's word, that he gave him some very specific requirements related to it. By the way, you know the Bible is not some old, outdated book. Don't listen to that nonsense. Our world is changing our morals. It's changing what we believe. And whenever we say, well, you know what? That's against what the Bible says. They come back and say, well, that's old and outdated. No, it's not old and outdated. Right is never outdated. Truth is never outdated. It's just that we're trying to change it because we want to change the way that we live, and we don't want something telling us that the way we want to live is wrong, so we have to come back and say it's outdated. The Bible is not outdated. It's relevant to our life today. Why is it that truth is progressing, technology is progressing, and all this stuff, and things are getting worse and worse and worse? Because we've got away from the old truth. It still works today. Well, you know, the world has changed. Yeah, but has it changed for the better? By the way, during the days when I went to public school, which is not as far along, as old as you think it is, things weren't good then. Now, it was a lot easier to escape from the schools than it is today, Robert, right? Meet over at Robert's garage. But let me just tell you something. They look like prisons. They do. And all the nonsense, look, you can't bring a Bible. They wonder why all this nonsense is happening on the school campus. It's not because you've forbidden Bibles on the campus, maybe. You take a Bible to campus and they'll freak out. It's amazing where we've come. We've mentioned it. We're not beating a dead horse, but a girl said, bless you. In public school, they suspended her. I'm glad they did because that was dangerous. I'm kidding. Not dangerous. But that's where we've come. But I'm just telling us today, for us, God's word is relevant for us today. What does relevant mean? It doesn't mean what some people have tried to make it mean. It means that we bring God's word down to the level where we want to live. No, no, that's not what relevant is. Relevance is God's word speaks to every single situation of life, and maybe we should follow it. But what were the requirements for the king? First of all, I want you to notice he was to make a copy. He says in verse 18 that the king was supposed to personally, now think about this, personally write out a copy of the law word for word. Now think about it. He's the king. Why couldn't he just get somebody else to write it out for him? They would probably do a better job. It would probably be a lot nicer. It'd probably be a little bit easier to read. How many of you don't write real well? Now, I write okay, but it's not that good. One of my kids, I'm not going to mention his name, but it's the same name as one of the kings of the Bible. He doesn't write real well either. That's men. But God said very specifically, I want you to copy it down yourself. Why did he want him to do that? Because it would get in his mind. He didn't just want something someone else threw at him. He wanted the king to know the word in a very intimate way. He needed to be intimately acquainted with every detail of what God had commanded. Writing it out would help him with that. I learned one thing. Now, when I went to college, I was not school ready. I went to Bible college. My pastor, I went to talk to him in his office just to say hi to him. This had nothing to do with schooling. He goes, you need to go to Bible college. I'm like, excuse me? And so he sent me off to Bible college. I'm like, I'll go. Now, he didn't understand. I didn't even go to high school. Look, my first day of college, I'm going to go to class, and I have my Bible, and I had a pen, and I had a highlighter. Bible college. And I'm going to class, and all these guys are walking around, briefcases and notebooks. You say, that's foolish. I'm telling you, I didn't go to high school. So I'm walking there, and I happen to see Pastor Esposito. He wasn't Pastor Esposito. It was Joe. Joe. I said, am I supposed to, like, have a notebook? And he's like, you know, I think that'd be a really good idea. And so I ran downstairs to some little shop. I called it Panhandler's Way. I don't even remember the name. And I went down there, and I got some notebooks, and I went to college, and I was glad I did. I remember one of my first tests I took, I got an F. I know how to take notes. But I quickly figured out how to do it. And I realized if I was writing the notes out and being very detailed in my notes, that helped me when I studied. It helped me remember what I was learning. And my grades quickly went back up to where they should be. But I had to teach myself that. That's kind of what's going on here. You imagine the king writing out the books of the law by hand. He's going to get intimate details and understand it. That's why God wants him to do it. God wants us to know his word that well. Now, if you want to go out and write it out by hand, have at it. There's 66 books now. There's not five. But we need to get in his word. It needs to be a part of who we are. If he was going to rule correctly, he needed to be ruled by God's word. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, most Christians are very, very ignorant when it comes to the basic truths of God's word because we're not in it. See, the goal today is if you want to be close to Christ, you got to get in his word. It can't be what so-and-so told you. It can't be just what you're hearing at church. You've got to get in it yourself. There needs to be a copy. There needs to be closeness. Verse 19, it says, and it shall be with him. Not just something he did his homework and he wrote it out and he threw it to the side and said, there, I'm done. No, it is something that's supposed to be with him at all times, near to him. If you ever read the book of Ezra, when Ezra's there, whenever they talk to him, he'd say, Ezra, according to the law of God, that is in thy hand. Ezra was carrying it around with him. It was close to him. We need to have God's word with us. We need it for our life. It's got to be a vital part of our life. We need to engrave it on our heart. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to know God's word. Now, by the way, we may not have everything, memorized. Who was married to who? Who begat what? Okay, all that. That's fine. Some of that stuff we'll learn. Why don't we learn the stuff that talks about living? It's got to be close to us. How close are you to God's word? How often do we say that God's word is everything to us, and then we go out, and in the way we live our lives, we act as if it isn't? We're not supposed to pay it lip service. It's supposed to be close to us. There also needs to be some consistency there as we look at the requirements. Verse 19, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. It wasn't just a one-time thing. I remember as a new Christian, I figured I was several years behind in Christianity because I grew up, wasn't saved, and had my issues. So I thought, man, I'm gonna pick up the Bible, I'm gonna read. I've never read it. Let's go. I finished it in 3 months. Now I didn't say, there you go, we're done. Good book, that was great. In 3 months, you can't even scratch the surface. Now, personally, my schedule is this year I'm going through it 3 times. I got 3 little schedules I follow. I've been reading the Bible now for, 10 years. Ushers, take that guy out, put him in the nursery. Yeah. I've been reading it for several years. I've read it through many, many, many times, but every time I read it, I see something different. Okay, our Bible reading schedule, we're reading Ezekiel. Brother, listen, I was reading that yesterday, and it's like, I got some stuff out of there. That was good. God's word speaks to us. Yes, sir. You're never going to know it all. It's not a Dr. Seuss book, okay? Some of us have Green Eggs and Ham memorized. It's probably the only book you've ever read. But it's an all-the-time thing. We need to constantly be in it. Needs to be enduring. Remember, last year, Dave Lucero asked me something. Hey, what did you get out of your Bible? Now, I think he was checking up on me. I don't know. Because he doesn't read his Bible, so that's the only way he's going to learn something. But I'm like, well, I read this, and I read this. And I'm thinking, man, you're checking up on me, aren't you? At least you could do is buy me dinner or something. I'm not trying to make us feel bad, and we're not asking for a show of hands, but I want you to think this through. Have you ever read the Bible completely through yourself, personally? Think about that. How many days this week did you read it? Have you read it every day? That's what we need to strive about. Say, well, I struggle with that. That's okay. By the way, if you can smell the food, don't worry, because I can see it. It's worse for me. Oh, I see a rice pot. We're working it. If I start praying and leave in a minute, you know where I'm going. It only takes about 5 or 10 minutes a day, depending on what section of scripture you're at, to follow our Bible reading schedule. Doesn't take that long. And I encourage you to do it. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll say it. I was in Bible college, and I was in the last class of the day was church ed. This is for preachers, missionaries. the men of the Bible college are going to be full-time servants of God. It was about 800 of us in there. Someone was talking about the Bible, and he said, everybody bow your head and close your eyes, and don't you look. When the teacher said, don't you look, you did not look. And he asked this question. How many of you have read your Bible every single day this year? Now, I must confess, I'm a bit of a rebel. I'm like, I'm looking. And I did. That's towards the back of the class because we sat by alphabet, and M was close. There was not. And I looked, and where I was looking, I could see, I counted, these are preachers. These guys are going to be missionaries. They're going to win the world to Christ. Out of that 800, I saw six hands. By the way, your dad was one of them, Brother Grandy. He was looking too. Now, I'm not going to get on those guys. They're new in college. Maybe they had some issues. The point is, I think sometimes we neglect it. And I'm encouraging today to make it a habit in your life. That's all I'm saying. Consistency. Let's look, second of all, I want you to see the rewards. You see, God said there are some rewards if we look in His Word and we read in His Word. The king would need to look in God's Word. If we are in God's Word, it will have an effect in our lives. Several weeks ago, when we were looking at closeness, we talked about things that'll kill our connection to Christ, and one of them is the things that we put in our mind. Well, if we're putting Scripture in our mind, it's going to bear good fruit. It's never going to bear bad fruit. What are some of the rewards? Well, he mentions them. First of all, we'll learn to fear the Lord. It says that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Think about this. The king was a big shot. He was at the top of the food chain in their country. He would be respected by his followers. They would need to follow his laws, and he would be the one, the driving force, to help to make sure those laws were enforced. He was the big shot. He was the big guy. But let me just explain this to you. He too, even though he was a king, would need to respect somebody and follow his laws, or else there would be some big time trouble. He was supposed to follow God and his laws. We all are supposed to follow God and his laws. We are not higher up in any echelon where we don't need anybody telling us what to do. All of us need somebody who we report to. It's called accountability. And one of the things to fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord is understanding that God knows everything I'm doing, everything I say, everything I think, and one day I'm accountable to him. Yes, and you know what helps us with that? God's Word. Yes, you sit there and you read it, particularly maybe if you're in the New Testament, it's like, wow, I need to work on that. Yeah. That's good. That's God speaking to us. That's understanding, God, you are in control, you are in charge, and I better listen to what you say. The king needed to have a fear for God. By the way, if you look at the kings and you follow the history, when they went bad, they lost their fear of God. And that's when things. Do you understand that you're accountable to God today? You say, well, what am I accountable for? Get in his word and you'll find out. It's all right there for us. If the king needed someone to follow, surely we need someone to follow. Also, next, we would learn to obey Scripture. That to keep all the words of this law and these statutes and do them. You see, the king, if he's not careful, would say, I don't have to obey anything. And by the way, many of the kings got off on that. They wouldn't obey the laws. They're just kind of like, you know, we kind of think that, well, if I'm at top, you know, laws are for other people, I can kind of do my own thing. That's the road to misery. But we get in the Word of God because it encourages us to obey His Word. We understand that. He not only needed to write it down, but as he was writing, he was supposed to get it so that he could go out and do what it says. The Bible does us no good if we don't listen to it. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, and Satan came to him and said, hey, do this, Jesus didn't say, drop dead. I know who you are. How did he answer Satan? It is written. By the way, one of the times Satan quoted Scripture. He misquoted it. Maybe he had one of those new Bibles that are out of shape. Look at the NAV. No, he didn't miss. Well, yeah, because stuff was missing. But you know what happened? He didn't say, hey, I know where you're going with that, Satan. You took out this phrase. You know what he said? It is written. It is written. Now, it wasn't the fact that he knew the scripture that made it powerful. It was the fact that the scripture he was quoting to Satan was, here's how I'm going to live. You're telling me to do this, but I'm not doing it because I'm obeying this scripture right here. Amen. The obedience brings the power. Most Christians, and I'm sad to say, don't live by God's word. We just do our own thing. We just do our own thing. And it's sad. If all we do is read God's word and we don't do what it says, it has no effect. I read a story about a man in New York City. He died at the age of 63. The guy never had a job in his life. You know what he did his whole life? He went to college his whole life. He got all of these different degrees. Well, they found out why. When he was in his 20s, he had a wealthy relative die. And the wealthy relative left him money to take care of him while he was in, as long as he was in college. So you know what this guy did? He stayed in college his whole life so he could get this money. He was living off the money and just hanging out at college. He had so many degrees, he'd fill the alphabet. But can I tell you something? He never did anything with any of those degrees that he earned. He never did anything with anything that he was taught. He just kept it. See, that's how most of us, I want to learn the Bible. I'm glad you want to learn the Bible, but let me ask you this. Do you want to live it? Because that's where it comes, the power comes from. So we learn, you know, I'm not for marketing schemes. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Probably the opposite of what we do. You know, we should have do what Jesus did. DWJD. But we put the bracelet on. WWJD. Are you? Take the bracelet off, open your Bible, read it, and do what it says. You don't need a bracelet. There you go. Amen. If you want to wear a bracelet, God bless you. I don't like to wear anything that has the word let at the end. It just sounds feminine. Obedience. Next, learn to stay humble. Verse 20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. You know, the king was at the top, and what would happen is he'd start to read his own press clippings and like, hey, I'm a big shot after all. And then he gets proud. By the way, several of the kings that happened to. It happened to the first king. Saul was one of the most humble men. When they were going to anoint him king, he's hiding in the luggage. And then he becomes proud. How come they're saying, David, 10,000, I only get 1,000? By the way, if I was a king and I had a guy that was killing 10,000 and they said, I only killed 1,000, I'll take it. Like, have at it, David. Go handle it. Yeah. Okay, who cares who gets the credit? Things are happening. But that's not how we are. We get proud. How do we show pride in our life? You know the biggest way we show pride in our life? We do what we want to do. That's proud. We think we know what's best for our life. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If what I want to do doesn't line up with what God says, something needs to go. And you know what needs to go? My thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That's in Isaiah. So let's remain humble. It's funny how all of us fight with pride, and to be honest with you, none of us have a reason to. So really, you think you're such a big shot. We think we're big shots. Not all of us. And we stand before God and it's like, yeah, I ain't gonna fly. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When we really read the Bible, we understand who we really are. That's why it shows the flaws in the Bible. It shows the heroes for what they did. And it's like, well, how about because they're human, they're flesh. And this story is the story of God's grace and how he uses us anyhow. Amen. Humility. I've got that one down. Next, we need to learn how to remain faithful. The Bible helps us with that. And that he turned not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left. It keeps us straight on target. When we stay in the Bible, we know that we're going to keep serving God. How many people have come into church and, oh, I trusted Christ. I'm excited. I'm on my way. And they don't get into the Bible. And a year from now, it's like, where are they? The FBI couldn't find them. A motion detector couldn't find them. What happened? They were content with coming to church but never getting in the Word. And so they didn't stay straight on the path. They started to stray off. You think about someone running a race. You can, if you run the marathon, if you want, you could probably, like, as you're going down the street, you could zigzag. You could probably jump up on the sidewalk, stop and get a hot dog. But I guarantee you, if you do that stuff, you're probably not going to finish the race. Stay on the course. You know the Word of God keeps us true and faithful. Look at verse 20 again. To the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom. Hey, when we're in the Scripture, we learn how to obtain success. Now, we won't go in it, but you read Psalm 1. You can go back to Joshua chapter 1. God promises success if we are in his Word and we meditate on his Word. He says we will be successful in any area of life. Now think about that. You say, wow, so if I read the Bible, I'll be a multimillionaire? No. You'll be successful in any area of life, but you'll want the right kind of success because you'll want to follow what God is telling you to do. And God always blesses his Word. There are all kinds of rewards. And then we learn to bless family, he and his children in the midst of Israel. How many of the kings did their lifestyle affect their children and that next king? And it's just a downhill progression. Your life, Mr. and Mrs., if you have children, your life affects your children. Especially you, men. Now, we're in this macho society where it's, you know, well, you know, let the ladies be spiritual. Baloney. Men, why don't you step up? It's not sissy to be spiritual. To not be spiritual. That's masculine. Be a man. Okay? It shouldn't be, it's all, you know, the women come. You know, in our society, the higher percentage, most churches have a high percentage of women and a small percentage of men. Right. You know what? Christianity is for men. Amen. It's for men that are strong and willing to stand up. And by the way, some of these other beliefs and these other churches are so wimpy, I wouldn't go there either too. Let's be men. Look, care about your kids. It's not just mom's responsibility to raise the kids. You know, I'm just out doing my man thing, and mom can do whatever she wants with the children. Hogwatch, mister. Yep. You should be the driving influence in your children's life for right. The last verse of the Old Testament. Elijah's going to come. Why? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Why? Because we go our own way. Nothing sissy about being a good father. You're not too cool for Christianity. And by the way, don't flip that statement and try to make Christianity cool. If it's something everybody in the world wants who doesn't love God, then there's something wrong with what you believe. Now, I'm not saying let's be offensive, but I'm saying let's follow the Lord. But where does it all start? It starts in Scripture. And by the way, this problem isn't new. Go ahead, read the history of the kings. Saul had a united kingdom. David, for the most part, there were a few years, had a united kingdom. Solomon had a united kingdom. That's it. Then it split. Why? Solomon went bad. Now you got two kingdoms fighting. Bunch of nonsense going on. Why? Obviously, the kings didn't get in the Word. Oh, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. That's right. Read Proverbs. He was also the most suicidal. Read Ecclesiastes. Why? He didn't follow the Word. He wrote it, but towards the end of his life, he didn't follow it because he disobeyed it. Where are we going to be? We've got to get in his Word. My admonition to you is this. Get into God's Word. Get into it. Personally, daily. You say, but I struggle and sometimes I miss. Then get up and get right back on the horse. But let's get in the habit of personally knowing God's Word. Let's all stand together. Every head bowed and every eye closed.